guys. Welcome to another edition of 68 Shining Moments. Today, we have John Lucas III and Tony Allen talking about that memorable game back in 2004 NCAA tournament where Oklahoma State knocked off number one St. Joe's. All right, now pleased to be joined by two players from the memorable 2004 Oklahoma State run, and John Lucas III, Tony Allen. John, start out with that season a little bit. And I know you guys came out of the gate strong, had a hell of a year. But I think, remind me, didn't you guys lose to like BYU? And Coach Sutton did some crazy shit with you guys after that game, like football stuff? What happened?
Yeah, we got out rebounded. And we never got out rebounded after that. We was playing BYU in Salt Lake City. It was kind of like a homecoming game for one of our teammates, Daniel Bobbitt, who went to BYU. Then he went on a two-year mission. And then when he came back, they decided to go a different way. So he ended up coming to Oklahoma State. And I'll never forget this game because we was on the road and we was playing really good. So we get there, we're playing. It's a good game, tough game. It came down to a final shot. And I remember coming off the screen and I had a wide open shot, but I saw Daniel wide open in the corner. So in my mind, I was like, yeah, this is like the best way to get back at the team that like tried to go. And I threw the ball to him in the corner. He airballed it. And we end up losing the game, but that shot is not the reason why we lost the game. We actually got out rebounded. They kicked our ass on the board. And I'll never forget when we was all at the airport. I mean, Tony and I was sitting next to each other and Coach came up to us, like to the whole team. I was like, when we get back, I want everybody to go to the football equipment and get measured for helmets and pads. And we all looking at it like, what? Like thinking it was a joke or something. Then we got back to school the next day when we walk in, you know, he had this thing where we had to come in and check in every day, talk to one of the just to check on us. And he was like, did you get measured? I was like, oh, no, I didn't get measured. I was like, I actually thought he was playing. And then, you know, me being the size I was, I had to get quarterback pad. So I had the thinnest pads out there. And we for three, was it, Tony, was it 2 days or 3 days?
Man, we did two hard days of that.
Yeah, it was two hard days of straight.
And that's funny you remember that game, though, that's precise, though. And I remember that shot, now that you said that, because I didn't remember that game at all. All I remember was the aftermath. Coming into the locker room, we came into the locker room, and soon we came into the locker room, we had a chance. We had a chance to either get measured for helmets and shoulder pads, or you get kicked off the team. Really? And I said, what? I said, wait a minute, are you serious? But I thought they was just woofing. You know, coaches do a lot of woofing. You know what I mean? So when a coach say something like that and he actually means it, like you gotta think, A, how long we gonna be doing this? And B, we need to get our act together. And it was one of those things, I kind of embraced it, but then I started thinking about my draft status. And I was like, yo, this, if I break one of my fingers, if I get hurt, like, you know what I mean? So I kind of had a cheat code to this, John. I don't know if you knew. I had, I'm not sure if it was Stephen Graham or Bobby, one of those guys. No, it couldn't have been Bobby. He was too competitive.
You had Steve.
It was Stephen Graham. So I told Steve, I said, yo, this could get outrageous. And he went hard, right? We had it all planned out. Like, yo, you're just going to box me out. I'm going to attempt to the basket, and you're going to make it look fun. So we tried that for like one possession, right? And Coach said, hold on. He put the ring on there. Remember, he put the ring on there.
Yep, the ring on there.
So now he was like, if I don't see you guys putting in the effort to do that, he was like, we're going to do this all day. So he kind of got competitive. And, man, I think I had jammed my finger on it one time.
And Franz broke his hand.
And listen, one thing I did. To avoid that, I just started throwing my shoulder in it. Every time, you get what I'm saying, on an attack, when I go for the rebound and I say, man, I got 2-3 seconds of it, and then you go box out. So I didn't want to get hurt in that, man. But I thought it helped us mentally, because the next time, guys did not want to do that. We did not want to be in football, basketball players, if that is, that's even the word. But
but I just, you know, I remember I used to like, oh, I got to go use the restroom. Like all the rebounds.
See, I'm saying, like, look.
I got to go use the restroom. So I used to always go, I got to go use the restroom. See, I used to stay in the back.
And see, then you try to be clever.
Yeah. But then one thing that helped us with that was, right, after we did it for 2 days, 2 days straight, we didn't shoot the basketball. We didn't go through no plays, nothing. We never got out rebounded again.
That was it.
All season.
And
he made us keep the helmets and pads in our lockers as a reminder.
As a reminder.
If you do it again, we're breaking it back out.
Right. Man, you remember all that, Luke. I ain't gonna lie. You remember all that. That's crazy.
So, and it was tough because, you know, I was coming in. The year before, I just beat them. I had a triple double when I was at Baylor. And we beat them in Oklahoma State, right? And I wasn't on scholarship.
Before we played y'all, let's just get that clear though. Before you say that, like, how, because you know you just said something. I wanted to say something. Y'all beat us, right? You had braids and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That year. Okay, listen, we had went out to Eskimo Joe's the night before, so
that's fine.
Don't take that win. Don't take that win, like, you know what I mean? Don't be saying that over the airways. Like
it's still a win.
Jeff.
Okay. But go ahead, finish. Don't let him finish the story.
So, you know, all that stuff happened at Baylor when I was there. My teammate getting murdered by my other teammate. You know, the whole scandal thing with the coaches and stuff. So I didn't start school till about 2 months late because didn't know if we was going to sit out or they was going to let us stay in the Big 12 or we had to go to another conference. And Victor Williams and Mo Baker was in Houston training with my dad for the draft workout.
Legends. Yep. Let's put some respect on their name.
And Victor was like, a good school for you to go to would be O-State. Like, never thought of. And one of my really good friends, Ivan McFarland, who's from Houston, was at O-State. Yeah. So I took a visit there. I was actually headed to Memphis.
That's where you're going to go?
Yeah.
With Coach Kyle. You weren't going to Memphis, was you?
Yeah. It was going to be me and Darius Washington.
I ain't know that.
It's going to be you and Darius? You never would have seen the ball.
I was going to be there. I was going to be there my senior year. He was going to be a freshman. So what happened was, and the reason why I'm telling this story, because everything happens in a full circle in basketball, right? So when I get to school, it's no more scholarships. So I had to pay my junior year, and I was a walk-on. So technically, I was a walk-on my junior year when we went to the Final Four.
Wow.
And when I got there, I really didn't trust too many people, right? I just came out of a situation and I didn't really trust too many people. I've always had my circle real tight, right? And Tony Allen, who's a brother to me, he's one of my best friends. I was in his wedding, he was in my wedding. That's my brother for life. Was the one person on the team that started knocking that wall I put up around me. Because I was the only one who had my own apartment at school.
Really?
And I never came out. Like, I go to the gym, get my work in. I'm just in my boys talking, whatever. And every day around like 5:30, like clockwork, I hear boom, 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 boom at my door. Every day, right? So I was like, man, what he want? Like, I open up, hey, we all going out. We going to eat, man. It'll be good. You know, it would be good for you to. I was like, nah, I'm cool. He was like, all right. Next day, do. Same thing. I was like, man, all right, man, I'm going to go, right? And what he was doing, he was like, yo, because we going to need you. Like, we got a chance to be good, but we got to have a leader. If our leader's standoffish, you know, because it was technically Tony's team. Yeah. Oklahoma State was technically Tony's team. And
he's
the one who helped me kind of like start trusting people. And then the chemistry got there. And then Coach Sutton starts seeing it, how close we start becoming. So then he'll do like Coach Sutton, like he's the best. He reminds me of my father. he's one of the best guys to get into you, to your mental space.
Motivate you. Yeah. Yeah.
To motivate you. So he always used to test me and Tony because we always start hanging. We was like this. So if something happened, he'd be like, well, where's Tony and John? Well, they involved, like, it just started like, and then try to catch us up. Like we, like, you know what I'm saying? So he was like holding us accountable. And I'll never forget this, right? So we were scrimmaging in practice one day. And I had like Tony was like, nah, he called a bogus foul for a game point. He missed a wide open layup, but he got fouled at the 3-point line. He thought he was gonna make the layup for a game. He missed it, then he called foul. And I was like, oh, you're not getting that. I was like, you're not going, nah, check it up. Like, you can have the ball, but it ain't no game. Like, and Tony was, you know, he's sick. You know, Tony, like, and I'm, you know, I ain't really lift weights like that.
So I was but like, you start lifting weights, though.
Yeah, and then, so me and Tony was about to really get into it. But what happened was, he knew I wasn't scared, and I knew he wasn't scared. And it's like, the whole, that whole season clicked right there in that little scrimmage.
Really?
In my opinion.
It's that time of the year again, folks. Conference tournaments are tipping off. Bubble teams making their final push for a bid while the best teams in the country are gearing up for a deep run. Auto bids will be punched. Slippers will be fit. And our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, are putting my listeners at the center of the action. If you bet $4 on an underdog in a select game this week, and that underdog wins, you win $256. That's right, $256. Here's how it works. Download the app now. Use that promo code FIELD68 when you sign up. Again, FIELD68 when you sign up. Scroll through the list of select underdogs, bet $4 on them to win, and cash out a whopping $256 when they do. There's no better way for you to put your college hoops knowledge on display than to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So remember, that's FIELD, the code, FIELD68. Again, FIELD68 to turn $4 into $256. For a limited time only, you must be 21 years or older. Restrictions apply. Go to DraftKings.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, fast forward here a little bit. You guys had a hell of a regular season. After that BYU game, I think you lost twice all year in the regular season, right? 14-2 in Big 12 play. You're beating everybody. So fast forward to the NCAA tournament. All right. Mm-hmm. First of all, do you remember the day, Selection Sunday, when you saw your draw? What were you guys thinking when you saw your road?
Well, I pretty much was thinking like just looking at all the competition. I was looking at Connecticut. I was looking at, I know, honestly, it was Connecticut. I was watching Connecticut the whole way. I was thinking like, if I had a chance to match up with Ben Gordon, that was going to be my, like, that's how I was going to get in the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I dropped. Like, I dropped all the way, but, like, Danny got me for a steal. But if I'd have got a chance to show the world me against Ben Gordon on the big stage that I could play both hands, I probably would have went for sure higher than Kurt Snyder. I know for sure that dude that went to Nevada, I still want to play him one-on-one right now till this day. Like, him and Ben Gordon, those two. And that's all I was thinking. And then we went through the guards. I knew I had to see Delonte West. I saw St. Joe's. I knew what they was doing. But just our tournament that we went through, it had me ready for anybody. We ran through the Big 12 tournament. Like, and it just that time was wild off the court things. I'm just thinking about Ben John though. But just for us to just even get through the tournament with a breeze and like, man, we knew, like, I was just looking at all the top teams. I'm ready for them, so it can help my draft number status. Two, that's all right. I was thinking.
You guys were the 2 seed in the East. You started with Eastern.
We should have been a 1 seed. You should have been a 1 seed. Let's talk about it. You should have been a 1 seed.
Well, St. Joe's, we'll get to them in a minute. We'll get to them. But first, you get Eastern Washington. Then you get to Memphis.
Who we played first? I don't even remember who
we played. We played Eastern Louisiana.
Eastern Washington.
We played Eastern Washington?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that was a walk in the park.
But it was in Kansas, right?
That was a layup.
What's that?
Our first two rounds was in Kansas.
Yeah, you got Memphis after Eastern Washington.
Right.
And then
now that's the game. Let's talk about that game.
Go ahead. What do you remember? What do you remember from that
match? I remember Joy Graham. It's a dude named Sean Banks. We was dating. Look, Coach Sean was talking about a dude named Sean Banks. He was like, this guy's an NBA. Woo, woo, woo. So we going shoot around. I tell Joy Graham was trying to be funny and shoot around. And I remember trying to like get him in trouble. I was like, Joy Graham, stay focused, man. Stay focused. like trying to get him ready for the dude supposed to be this NBA guy. He just was like 18. What is he, a rookie or something?
He was a freshman. He was freshman.
He was a freshman. I was like, man, the way they did him in the scout report, I was like, yo, you got your hands full. And I promise you, the first play of the game, the third play of the game. Don't give me the line. But all I'm saying is he took the ball up like Dr. J and finished it over his head. I'm talking about took the kid whole confidence. I haven't heard from him since. No, for real. Joy Graham did, like you talk about destroy somebody's confidence. I saw Joy Graham do this. Shout out to Joy Graham. What do you remember about that game though?
I just remember going heads up with Antonio Burks.
Big strong guy. Shout out to him. It's his birthday today too.
Yeah.
Or yesterday. So, I think his birthday was yesterday.
And I remember, you know, almost going to Memphis. So I had ties with Coach Cal and then DeJuan Wagner. Boy, OG was on that team. You remember I was talking to him before the game. I just remember, like, my whole thing was, like, that was my first time ever playing an NCAA tournament. So I was locked in from the jump.
Yeah, John was locked in. I think John back then, I want to say you was real deep into that film, like a little earlier than, like you always be watching film. I remember that. Like, I didn't really pay attention to film in college. Like, I was just like, it was just a breeze. But John, he always dissected film, man. That was one thing I think, man. You had a curve on a lot of the athletes early, man. That's that coach's son vibe in you, bro.
I remember, I knew they thought I was going to come out and score, right? But my first two games, I was more letting the game kind of come to me. And Tony, Joey was getting off. Ivan was getting off. Like, I contribute, like, my little points and my little assists and stuff. So I was just like, my whole thing, I wanted to be efficient. I really wanted to win. Like, I didn't know I've never been in that kind of opportunity and that type of stage in college.
And Baylor, that's what I'm saying. And Baylor, we was known for just like running over Baylor at the time that he was playing over there. You probably did win at that one time that you brought up, but like you look at the numbers every time we go play Baylor, we would just smash them. So for him to come into a winning environment, I embraced him. I said, you know what? I got to see where he at.
Right.
And I'm telling you, from that time we told you where we got into it at, where we slick had a little skirmish or whatever, that was the litmus test for us to click. And I'm telling you, every game, he was prepared. It even helped me prepare. Tell me about the times even before those games, bro, before we get back to this, how competitive we was and staying in the gym at night, trying to work on our craft, trying to get us to the next level. Our whole focus, me and John, we clicked because we wanted to be the best at everything we was doing in the Oklahoma State uniform. Let's let that be known, John. You used to try to act like you going to the bathroom again. When I'll be shooting on one end, you'll be shooting on another end. You act like you done shooting. And then I'll be done with my workout, trying to jump in the shower, and you come right back at there and shoot. We would be on that type of time. Competitors, we were competitors inside of the competitive nature. Like it was just me and him, man. Like,
but that, man, but that's what brought us to the NCAA. NCAA tournament was right there, that competitive side. Like, I really felt like we was the best backcourt, the best 1-2 punch in college basketball at that time. But I also knew about Jameer and Delonte. I also knew about Chris Paul was a freshman. We played Carl Krauser, Pittsburgh. So all these guys that was better. that they were better than me.
Let's go to St.
Us. What you mean? Us? They was ranked ahead of me too, bro. What do you mean? Yeah. Us? We had like a we played with an edge, bro. Like there, a lot of people don't know that we played with an edge, and like each of these games you bringing up, like we can remember some like Kearney, just for example. They had Kearney on the team. They had him projected higher than me, and I was a senior. I'm like, wait a minute, they got him going late first round. And I scouted his game instantly. As soon as I saw the first highlights Coach Sutton showed, I said, oh, he can't dribble. So I know what I'm going to do. As soon as I get in the game, I'm making him put it on the floor. You get what I'm saying? And John, you probably had Burke. You probably thinking, okay, I got to use my quickness. I got to use my speed. I got to be quick. I got to get these guys involved. We approach games like how we approach games in the NBA. You see what I'm saying? Early on, just with a whole type of – our proper preparation prevented us from poorly performing. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, what you going to say, Jeff?
So you mentioned before that you guys felt like you were the best kind of 1-2 punch, backcourt punch in the country. But everybody's talking about you get through the Sweet 16. Now we're on to the Elite Eight, and it is all about Jameer and Delonte, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
You heard it all year.
Yeah. Delonte averaged 20 points a game. He was averaging 20 points a game until that point.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, let's put some respect on my boy, Nate. All-American, you know what I'm saying? Big, huge respect for Delonte. Where that my boy, you know, I'm talking about lethal left-hand shooter, silent shooter, boom. He's going to hit you anytime you leave him open. You can create, get others open. Silky smooth game. They was undefeated. At the time, boy, they probably had lost one game. I'm not sure.
No.
They lost the tournament. Duquesne.
Yeah, that's right.
Duquesne, okay, cool.
Regular season undefeated, lost in the A-10 tournament.
But
and then they got us. I knew that because you had Jameer going right.
That was. I'll never forget the night before that game. After we beat Pittsburgh, we celebrated a little bit. And Tony and I was roommates on the road. And I couldn't go to sleep. Because I was itching for that moment. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was so amped for that game that I had an awful first half. I couldn't hit nothing. I was playing terrible that
first half. John, are you trying to give us an excuse of why you stunk up the court the first half?
No. Uh-uh. No excuse. I wanted it so bad that I was putting unadded pressure on myself. And I'll never forget this. Like Coach Sutton, he usually wants everybody locked in at halftime, right, TA? Like all eyes to the board, right? And I remember the whole tournament, I'm like superstitious a little bit. So the whole tournament, they want us to wear the 2K4s, Huaraches, Nike. They want because they start pushing it. And I've always wore Jordans. So at halftime, I switched my shoes and I put my headphones on. And Coach Sip, Coach Keller, Sean, Jimmy Wayne, Eddie Sutton, they kind of like left me alone. And I was listening at halftime. And then the second half, we came out. And I told TA, I said, I got you, Killer. I got you. And I was like, I was determined to flip the narrative of that game from that first half to my second half. And I remember I said, if it comes down to taking a last shot, I'm taking it. No ifs, ands, buts about it, because I've already passed up one shot in the BYU game. I said, I know what I can handle. So, and I remember and before the game, I've always put a target on somebody back. And they had a guy when we was out there stretching, last name Burrow or something like that. He was talking noise the whole time we were stretching, nobody in the gym. And he was like, Delonte ain't eat all day. Jameer's hungry. Like just talk like woofing.
I remembered
his number. So I said, and he was supposed to be like a defensive player. So I knew he was going to be guarding me at some point. So we ran a play for Joey to get ISO because he was having to, you know, Joey, they couldn't guard him, the guy who was guarding.
Set it up, John. Set it up. You're down one here with how much time left at this point?
it was like 12 seconds, like 10 seconds. We called timeout. So we had a play.
Carroll had just hit a three, right? Carroll had just hit a three with about
a corner three
seconds left to put him up.
Yep. So we drew a coach call a timeout. We drew the play where Joey was going to have an ISO from the top. And I was going to be on the, you know, left side wing. So we got to the ISO. Joey's going into his move. He slips and kind of fumbles the ball. My guy, who was doing all that wolfing, left me. Joey luckily gets control of the ball, throws it out. When it left my hands, I knew it was in.
And then you guys go up. And Jameer, and they call one more
time. They don't call timeout.
There were no timeouts called in the final minute of that game. It just neither coach. I was shocked. Shocked.
So it was no timeout. Jameer tried to come. He threw like a half court shot. Yeah. And I got back. If you notice, I'm about numbers, right? I caught the ball. That's a rebound for me. He airballed it. So I caught it. And then I just threw the ball in the air. I just threw it up. Wow. Time ran out. I remember jumping in Randy's hand because he was like a grad assistant, but played at Randy Rutherford, shooter, legend too, Old State. And I kind of like just felt all the emotion because I was like, damn, everything I've been through this whole year from investigation by the NCAA, the FBI stuff, the transferring teammate getting killed, all that stuff, it was like, okay, boom. Like, we going to the fold. Like who would ever thought that, you know,
that you're would a Baylor. Happen? Right, you're a
that
Baylor.
Baylor. From
right,
Baylor. Right. Exactly.
For you.
So, I'll like never forget.
Crazy.
We just went through it. And but after the celebration and all that, we was like, all right, who we got to play? So, we playing now Georgia Tech, how I say everything works. So, a lot of people don't know this. Will Bynum, who's one of Tony's best friends, or a really good friend of mine, was really supposed to go to Oklahoma State when he left Arizona.
Right, right.
But he ended up going to Georgia Tech instead. So now we're playing Georgia Tech. I was looking past, I like not looking past him, but I was like, we're going to win this thing. It's just in the cards.
We're going to get UConn.
And I wanted UConn because Emeka Okafor and I went to the same high school.
From Houston.
We graduated together. And I wanted Tyleek Brown. I said, I got Jameer. I need Tyleek. I need Brown. I want him. Right? I said, I won't. Just like Tyleek, T.A. was like, I won't Tyleek. Be. So it was
Tyleek
to me,
wasn't
I was
the
like,
guy, though. Wasn't the guy. Tyleek wasn't the guy.
No, I'm talking about they always say he's
you,
the
you
the
need,
trick, huh?
Yeah, he was nothing.
No,
yeah.
I'm talking about for point guards. They had one of
yeah,
the top
yeah, that was your guard. That was your motivation. Was
yeah.
Your motivation.
Yeah.
You want to bang Jordan.
I was like,
you want to bang.
I want to bang. I want to bang.
I said, I already took down. Carl Krauser was another good point guard that I had to go
he
against.
He was tough as shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was just talking.
Black man. Yeah, they called him Black man. He had a nickname. Yeah, man. Was. I was like, I knew about it. I want that.
I so got that against Pittsburgh. You guys think you look past Georgia Tech because of UConn?
No, we didn't look past Georgia Tech. I'm not
kinda
saying
kind of did. Yeah, we did.
I didn't look past him. I knew it was going to be an option. So a lot of people don't know.
I did.
Me and Jared Jack was teammates.
I had nobody to stick that game.
You didn't.
You know I was disengaged.
Really?
So, like.
No, they had BJ Elder. They had Elder. No, they did. They had BJ Elder.
Yeah.
Been some type of, yeah. They,
but
we didn't look past them. We just didn't think they was going to beat us.
Yeah, we had all the confidence. Like, we only lost two games after we lost to BYU. And the one game we lost to was against Nebraska, and that was because everybody was on some – that game, everybody was thinking about their draft, so Joey started shooting every ball. Tony was shooting every ball. Stevie came in the game shooting every ball. Daniel shooting. Like,
I got my average. That game.
And that's how we lost that game in Nebraska because everybody was worried about stuff, and we got away to where we was supposed to really be.
We was down 11-0, bro, starting that game.
Hold on.
I want to go back. Once you guys got to the Final Four, I know there has to be a TA story of before the Final Four going out and having some fun. Come on, Tony.
We was on lockdown.
You couldn't do anything? Tony didn't get out? Come on.
Coach Sutton wasn't playing that. Man, we was on lockdown.
We couldn't do nothing. Lockdown, man.
And he made us go to the and he made us go to the final game.
He made you go to what?
He made us go watch Duke, go watch Georgia Tech and UConn in the finals and sit up there as a team.
No.
So we lost.
Did?
Yeah. As a reminder, like, look how close y'all got.
How could you celebrate after losing?
Yeah. We couldn't celebrate. So he was really punching us.
Wow. Wow. So what?
Like you don't get a reward in the final four. You don't get a reward for the second place. You gotta win that thing or nothing. Ain't no fourth place consolation brackets. It's one, you know.
Tony, what do you remember about that St. Joe's game?
St. Joe's, just remember just trying to make Delonte West go right all the time. You know, once I saw Lucas hit the shot, it was more like
game over.
They didn't call timeout, and he only got like 3 seconds to get it up court. I was over with. And I was thinking, like, man, my biggest challenge really in the tournament was the Pittsburgh situation.
They were good.
The Pittsburgh. I think I was scared of crowds at first. I ain't gonna say scared, but I think I kind of liked out his highlights.
Was gonna be a little much for us, because you know he was aggressively attacking, strong. He get to the line, and they had a left hand guard. I forgot his name, Page.
Julius Page.
Which was he better than his brother?
Was his brother Victor?
Was Victor Page better than Julius Page?
More talented.
More talented.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is, playing against those guys the year before, we always at Jordan camp together. So, you know, you had a relationship, and then I had a relationship with Brandon Knight, who ended up, you know, was one of Pittsburgh's top point guards. And Brandon Knight and I was training the same time when everybody was down there working with my dad for the pre-draft workout. Him, Ron Slay, like guys like that who was older than me, was coming down. So we played Pittsburgh. I was like, oh, we're going to win. And then he was like, Carl Krauser, Black Magic, Bronx Fine. It's like, yeah, you know, talking that. And it was like, and Carl was tough.
He was.
Carl was tough. So, you know, yeah,
I didn't know who he was.
So Tony's a little bit different. As you can tell with our personalities, Tony didn't watch film at the time. Tony was like, it didn't matter who he was playing against. Tony was going to go at him. With me, I wanted to know everybody's tendencies. I wanted to know what their go-to was if the game was on the line, so I could cut. Because I wasn't a strong defender. I didn't focus on defense like that.
Yeah. Which probably why you guys work so well together, to be honest.
Right. So I was more.
Listen. Hold on. Let's get this clear. Cause you're doing a lot of things that's rubbing me a little. Listen, I never was a defensive player either.
You know what I'm saying?
I was the player of the year. You keep forgetting.
I used to think I was Paul Pierce or
Kobe Bryant somebody. In competition, I got a Big 12 Player of the Year award. He got the same one the same year. So we always been like that, because I won the Big 12 Player of the Year, and then he won the Big 12 Player of the Year too. But at the end of the day, Tony used to lock down all the top offensive players on the other team. Am I lying?
Give them buckets.
Well, that's
give them buckets.
That's what people don't realize with Tony was, because in the NBA you were known as a defender, people don't realize you could score the ball in college. You did both.
I had my days. But you know the defense they get, that came later. In this segment we talk about right here, you gotta put some respect on my day. I was killing on the offensive end.
Oh no, he had somebody like, I told TA, he got mad at me one day because I would not pass him the ball when he was open for the three. And I told him, I said, hey, T.A., am I lying, T.A.? So you know I'm not lying. I said, T.A., every time you shoot, you cost yourself $1 million.
What?
Right? And he looked at me just like that. Like,
it's your story, I'm gonna let you tell it.
Hey, he go said ahead. And then he looked at me just like that, like, what? I said, if you get, I said, because I was out a little bit, like he said, ahead of the game when it came to being efficient, when it came to, like, numbers. Because, you know, I had my dad. He was GM of an NBA team, a president of an NBA team, head coach. And I used to pick his brain all the time. And he told me, he was like, hey, you want your boy T.A. to go first round, you gotta make him all the way around. So my mission was like, all right, T.A., I got you, bro. So every time he cut to the basket or he backdoor, he got the ball and laid it up and got to the free throw line and was getting buckets, right? So then T.A. started noticing I used to come in and shoot every night like clockwork, 9 p.m. every night. And he came in there one time with me, and I saw as many shots we was getting up. He was like, man, it's too much. But T.A. was like this. T.A., if we played Kansas and what's his name, Keith Langford, T.A. was going to cook him. If we played R.P. to Andre Emmett, R.P., bro, that was probably one of the best matchups I've ever seen was T.A. versus Andre Emmett, Texas Tech.
So
Andre Emmett, who you said?
Yeah, Andre Emmett.
Yeah.
From Texas Tech?
He's a great player.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rest in peace, Andre.
Yeah.
I got drafted when
I think that was our first Big 12 game our junior year. That was our opening game in Lubbock. And that was probably – and T.A. just – him and T.A. was going back at it, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, T.A. could get a bucket on anybody.
Yeah, 26 points that game.
And he had the same move.
Hey, y'all go
through that game right now. I had 26 points that game. No
hard
cats.
Crossover, using his body. He did it to Delonte. He did it to everybody. He a bucket. But I was telling T.A., like, I was trying to manipulate the game. Like, and every time he cut, he got the ball. Every time he went for, we had this one play where we throw an alley hoop to T.A. and he jumps coming from the right side, throw it up, he gonna go get it. You throw it to the ceiling, he gonna go get it. So T.A. was making me look good because everybody always known me as a scorer.
Right.
Nobody ever thought of me as a distributor, like making play. And Tony helped me out by making me look good. I was averaging like 5-6 assists my junior year. Well, I really was only supposed to average like 3 because I shot the ball every time in Baylor. So then it showed like a different part, but it showed a part of T.A. to when the game was on the line, we needed somebody to go get buckets for us. We always ran plays for T.A. A lot of people don't know that. We ran plays for Tony when we needed buckets.
Hey, Tony, last question. Is it crazy to think that this game against St. Joe's is one of the all-time most memorable games in NCAA tournament history? I mean, again, that last minute was about as good as any last minute of a tournament game can be, going back and forth, big-time shots, no timeouts, and your boy here making the biggest shot of the season.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the most memorable ones. I look back and you just think, like, I think Joey had a chance to either put us up one, tied up or whatnot. I'm not sure how that went, but he fumbled the ball. If he's timid in that situation and not aggressive, maybe something happened, they turn the ball over, we don't get it. And that's a 50-50 ball, what we call in today's game, those loose balls. And we was just on the better hand of that. And John Lewis, like I say, that shot, he's been telling you, he's staying in the gym, he's always watching film ahead of the curve. That goes to tell you and show you, like, all right, he was pretty much properly prepared to take that shot. So if kids could just get anything from any of this, like, always work on your game and always be ready. You stay ready, you'll never get ready. It's one of those cliche things they say, but really when the doors are closed, like, really what you doing? and what are you doing to, you know, keep up with as far as like everything, like your game, anything that go along with your body, like how you taking care of your engine pretty much, what you putting in your engine. And he was the epitome of a pro early in college. So that shot didn't surprise me. But I had a lot of more memorable games in there. Like I like my matchups with Mouton to get number one for the conference, to get the number one seed in our conference for the tournament seed. I like the game with Ricky Paulden in Missouri. Shout out to Ricky Paulden. I'm giving these guys some little shout and some light. I just remember Brian Mouton was a bucket. Like, he averaged like 18 a game. Every time I played him, I knew he had that. He had come in the pick and roll with the dude Thomas who set the pick. Yeah, that felt like a football player itself. And I knew he could get the shot off. Thomas. I knew the Mouton could get that shot off. So that was always like those matchups. And I'll never forget the matchup in Missouri with Ricky Paulden. He kind of got the best of me that game. I think he had like 31 points on me. I'm talking about I caught every last bucket of it. And I just remember those guys beating us actually in a double overtime. And I think coach who coached that year is the same Quinn coach Snyder. Who coached the Utah Quinn Jazz Snyder. Right now.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder. Yeah. Quinn.
Yeah. So just I remember that matchup and just the memorable games for me.
I would say what got us prepared for those games was the Big 12 Conference. At that time, in my opinion, the Big 12 Conference was probably one of the toughest conferences going on at the time that year. And that I think that's what got us prepared because every night you had to bring your game, and every night, you know, you was going against a top dog, Kansas. You had Kansas, you had Missouri, you had Texas. It was Oklahoma. Like we every night it was sun. So when we got to play against other conferences, we've been through battles all year through our conference. Not saying everybody, I think that year the Big 12 had some of the most teams in the NCAA that year. Shout out to Coach Eddie Sutton and RP, you know, to coach, because he really is the reason why we was able to accomplish everything that we accomplished that year and the year after that. And he turned young boys into men. And I thank him all the time for taking a chance on me. If you look back at our team, he took all chances on all of us. Our starting five was all from other schools besides Ivan McFarland.
Crazy. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So he took chances on transfer players, second year play, like players from other schools, and he had the voice to kind of like make you and get the best out of you. And I thank him every day because I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for Coach Sutton. I was lost, honestly, after all that. So, and then, you know, every time I see Tony, I give him the biggest hug ever. Just because.
Well, listen, it's something that you guys will never forget, right? I mean, you did it together as kids, you know, I don't know how long it seems ago. 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago now, you know, it's got to be crazy looking back at that Final Four run. And I appreciate you guys giving me some time, reliving those memories, and really appreciate it. Certainly a game and a run that I don't think anybody will forget. So John Lucas III, Tony Allen, I really appreciate both of you guys.